I will extol thee, O Lord, for you have lifted me up, and have not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto you, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from the grave. You have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing to the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endures but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. In my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain to stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried to you, O Lord, and the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise you? Shall it declare you truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Upon the streets of gold.
inside the crystal sea. You heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man. He was smiling as he came, and he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." Then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you'd say your prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, you asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving through the door. I am a life that was changed. Then another man stood before you, and he said, "Remember, this time a mention came to your church. His picture made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today.
I'm going to speak on refueling our empty think tank, if our empty think tank is indeed empty. I suppose if it's an empty think tank, it is empty. We're going to look at Psalm 30, and we're going to begin looking at some of the Psalms and what we can learn about refueling that empty think tank. And I think I would confess that mine's pretty closed in on empty many times. I think we all feel somewhat of the maybe been afflicted by the bug that's going around, the complaining bug, not the other one. What's the remedy for that? Well, the Bible certainly. If we will take it to heart, if we will take to heart these psalms, which are really songs, as you probably know. Psalm really means psalm. They were intended to be sung and certainly intended to be used to praise the Lord. Many of them have been set to music. I think even this one has been set to music. Not one of the more famous psalms, but certainly a psalm of thanksgiving. And so I want us to look this morning at Psalm 30, because I think we've all had our bad days. We've certainly had a bad year, I would say, as a nation. I mean, that's, you know, we don't really laugh about it, and we shouldn't laugh about it, because we certainly need God to take over, to once again be over us, as our motto, unofficial motto, states, "In God we trust." So are we running on empty, gratitude-wise? How can we refuel an empty think tank? Well, I believe the Psalms are at least a start. There are many other scriptures, of course, that speak to this subject. But I want us to just look here at some keys, or maybe some ingredients might be a better word, in that refueling of the think tank. In our psalm here, David speaks about what God had done for him. Now, a little background on this psalm might be helpful. It says in my Bible that it's a psalm, a dedication song for the house, and it's of David. It doesn't really say what house, but many believe that this psalm was written. You may recall when David became king and he began to prosper, God blessed the reign of David, and apparently pride prompted him to number the people of Israel. Joab, who was not known to be a highly principled man, Joab was the commander of the army. But he said to David, David, if may God multiply his people Israel. But why should you bring trouble on the nation by wanting to know how many? I think this was human pride that motivated David to do this. David really admitted that. And a great plague came upon the nation. You may remember that. It was recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 24, the end of the book of 2 Samuel. And David purchased the threshing floor of, I think it was Ornan, the Jebusite. And that later became the site of the temple. That's an interesting historical sidelight. But it was the dedication of that place that was to be a place that of worship, the place where sacrifices were made to the Lord, that prompted apparently this psalm and how God brought health and healing back to the nation because David and the nation repented. So there was a remembering that brought about this psalm of thanksgiving. And in that remembering, there was a remembering of the raising. David says, you have lifted me up. And we only know some of the things of that transpired. We certainly don't know everything that went on in David's heart. But it was a time of deep contrition. And really, it troubled David's heart that he had brought this trouble upon the nation. Many thousands died in this plague because of his sin. And David, being the man that he was, a man after God's own heart, he humbled himself before God and he realized how God had raised him up, lifted him. You have lifted me up and have not allowed my enemies to triumph over me. I think we have so much to be thankful for that we don't sometimes remember where we were when God called us. And maybe you haven't yet answered that call. And it should be an encouragement to you, the Word of God should, for you to put your trust in God and the true God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, apart from whom the Bible says there is no salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember that He raised you, that I really believe if we got what we deserved, sometimes we think, oh, you know, we deserve much better. But maybe you don't think that way, but I think most of us do. We think, well, you know, we don't deserve all of these trials and problems. But then I think it's because we have forgotten what God has done for us. He has raised us up, hasn't He? He's saved us. Like Peter sinking in the water, he reached out his hand and he lifted us up. There was a raising here that David testified to that made him thankful and rejoicing and praising the Lord in this psalm. And really this psalm is a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving, a testimony to how God had worked in his life and how he had surrendered to God's purposes and his will. There was also a remedying because David said, you have healed me. Doesn't he say in verse 2 there, if you'll look at your Bible, you have healed me. So there's a remedying. Now, maybe we're not as healed as we would like to be. I think, you know, we all maybe have our thorns in the flesh. We spoke of that, I think, last week. We all have some physical maladies that we may be struggling with. And, you know, just looking out there, you know, I know that that's true of many of you. And certainly, if not physical, it's going to come. These bodies are going to give out at some point. And we're going to go back to the one who created us. And that's why it's so important that we do as the Bible says, prepare to meet our God. Well, that's what the Word of God is for, that we might prepare to meet our God. And that's why we're here this morning. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. So in that remembering, there's a raising, there's a remedying. Just the fact that we're here this morning really is a testimony of God's raising us and healing us, isn't it? I mean, we're healthy enough to be here. Maybe we're not as healthy as we would like to be, but at least we're here. And that's, again, a testimony of God's grace and God's healing. There's also a reviving. David says, you have brought up my soul from the grave. He spoke about how you spared me from among those going down to the pit. Now, the pit, I don't know whether you've maybe felt like you were in a pit before, but he may have been speaking of that. He may have been speaking of just his life was just walking death, like a zombie, I guess. You know, just wondering, well, you know, this, I might as well just pack it all in and go to my reward or whatever. Well, whatever my reward might be. And I don't know whether you've ever thought that way, but, you know, even as a Christian, sometimes we have these kinds of dark thoughts. or some Christians do, maybe you don't, but I think I'm speaking to most of you this morning, that we need to remember what God has done for us. That pit, of course, really is a symbol of death. It's really Sheol is the Old Testament term for that, but it's the place of the dead. And of course, when someone has died, there's a pit that's dug and the body put in there. Now, that's the way normally, not always. But anyway, God has raised us. He has remedied us. He has revived us. He's kept us alive. I mean, isn't that something to be thankful for? If I got what I deserved, sometimes I forget this, but I would really be in hell. It's true of all of us, because the Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if that's not something to be thankful for, if that doesn't at least fill a third of the tank, then there's something wrong. So there's a remembering here as part of that remedy or that filling of that tank, refilling. There's also a requesting. Now, if you're thinking about the fuel gauge, it's up to about a third of the way. I usually drive at least a third of the way on down, but according to Marlene, she's not here, so I can say this. Yeah, she thinks I drive on empty all the time. But we surely should not do that in the spiritual realm, should we? Let our tank get empty, because there's really no reason for it. We need to fill it. It's what the Word of God is for. And requesting, it's what prayer is for. This is what requesting is here in this context here. David said, "In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. You made my mountain to stand strong. You hid your face." And that's in verses 6 and 7. "When I was secure," this translation says, "I will never be shaken." Now, I don't know whether you've had that experience, but I think we've had that experience as a nation, haven't we? Where we've been very confident of our economy and everything. We've been blessed. But suddenly we have this kind of dark cloud that has descended upon the nation, and we're wondering what the economy is going to do. And of course, here in our own county, and certainly our state, but our own county, we've had severe financial concerns. How do we remedy that? Well, by requesting. If we'll look at verses 6 and through 10 there, David says, "When I was secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you showed your favor, you made me stand like a strong mountain. You made my mountain stand strong." I think David was thinking about that Mount Zion. That place now that's called the City of David, it became known as the City of David because David took that mountain from the Jebusites, and it became the site of the City of David and, of course, the temple and David's place of residence there. But he realized that that was not enough. Just trusting in what God has given up until now, it's really not enough, is it? Because that can so easily be taken away, the things of this world, the things of this life. But then David says, "You hid your face. And Lord, I called to you. I sought favor from the Lord," he said in verse 8. Did you notice that? I think it would be good if you underline that verse there. That's what God wanted David to do. That's why he brought him to this place. I think David had forgotten some things. He'd forgotten how God had called him to be the king, how he had taken it from Saul and given it to David, and how he had blessed the nation under his leading. But it all went back to God, and David had forgotten that. And so there came a requesting in his life, and it came out of his hurting. Pain can produce prayer. You may recall in the little New Testament book of James, James says, "Is any afflicted? Let him pray." I like that. I've been afflicted. You've been afflicted. And it doesn't have to be a physical affliction, but it may be a physical affliction or some other kind of affliction. But we all have them because Jesus said in this world we would have tribulation. Well, the purpose of tribulation, I believe, is to draw us closer to God. God says, "Draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you." So out of that hurting came this prayer of David, and there was a humbling. We can hear it in the words of David here. "Lord, I called to you. I sought favor from the Lord. What gain is there in my death, in my descending into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your truth? Lord, listen and be gracious to me. Lord, be my helper." The Bible says, "Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, and he will raise you up." So whatever your problems, whatever your hurts are, if you will humble yourself and make your request known to God. He says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you." Here's a testimony of David to how God helped him. Here he says, "Lord, be gracious," in verse 10. "Lord, be my helper." He wants to help you. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, He may not change the circumstances. You may still have that thorn in the flesh, like Paul. And you may still have that trial. But the difference is you'll have the Lord there to help you with it. I mean, you'll have His strength. He's always there, of course, if you're a believer, Jesus Christ. He's promised never to leave you or forsake you. But you will have His help. You'll be resting in His arms. You won't be trying to do it yourself. So there's a remembering, two-thirds of the way through now, a requesting, and then a rejoicing. I think without the rejoicing, we're still complaining, aren't we? I mean, I think that's the opposite of rejoicing. If we can look there at verses 11 and 12. David says, "You turn my mourning into dancing. You remove my sackcloth. You clothe me with gladness." In that rejoicing, there is a reversal. Mourning into joy. Now, we would all like that, wouldn't we? We'd all like to wake up and find all of our problems gone and everything changed to the way we would like it to be. But that's probably not going to happen, is it? I mean, God can. Certainly God can heal. And I'm not suggesting that God will not heal. God can take all of our enemies and turn them into friends. That probably won't happen. Certainly not with the devil. But we're still going to have trials. I think we would all agree with that. Because Jesus said that to His disciples who believed in Him, who loved Him, who were ready to follow Him to death. He said, in the world, in this world, you will have tribulation. So two-thirds full is not really enough in the spiritual gas tank that we're trying to fill here. This thank tank. No, we need to rejoice. We need to do like David, to turn our mourning into dancing. And I know we probably think, well, that would be fake. But I think maybe the reason why sometimes we're not more joyful is that we don't act joyful. And maybe if we began to like David, remember what God has done for us and do like the Bible says, cast your burden upon the Lord. Now, when you cast it, do you just keep some of it so you can, you know, just enough that you can struggle with through life? No, take it all. Cast it all upon the Lord, the Bible says, and He will sustain you. He won't otherwise. I mean, you're going to be struggling. You're going to be complaining. But there's a reversal here that David thought about, and he began to dance. And it was a holy dance. It wasn't unholy like many dances are. But a dance of joy. You know what it is when you have something that you're so joyful about, you can't contain the joy, and it just bubbles out, and you don't care. If your favorite team wins, well, you don't care. Somebody across the street hears you screaming and hollering. You're joyful. And you'll even go out and dance in the street, act like a fool. But be a fool for Christ. There's a reason for the rejoicing. If we'll look there, verse 12. David said, so that I can give thanks, or so that I can sing to you. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, so that I can sing to you and not be silent. Again, I think it's casting our burden upon the Lord. And then realizing that burden's gone. It's no longer ours, it's the Lord's. And He's much stronger. He's much more able to bear that burden than we are. And then there's a renewal. Doesn't He say, I will praise you all day long in the last verse there? I will praise you for an hour, every once a week. What does it say? Forever. What does forever mean? Okay. I think so. If I remember my Hebrew dictionary, that word means to endless ages. I will praise you. Constant praise and content praise as well. Content in what God had done in His life. I think it's partly faith too, because, you know, I don't know whether you've ever had these kinds of dark thoughts. Well, you know, the burden's gone for now, but maybe it'll come back. You know, when's that dark cloud going to descend? And so we kind of borrow, you know, from the future trouble that may not come. No, I think it's faith that made David say what he said here. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. And I believe if we will just practice this much, I think we'll have a full tank. I think we'll be, that tank will be full, and we'll be so happy we'll almost feel guilty about it. And maybe others will maybe think, you know, something's wrong. This complaining person isn't complaining anymore. And maybe they'll begin to wonder, well, maybe there really is something to that Bible. You know, maybe we ought to pick it up and read it sometimes. Maybe we ought to get to church. Maybe we ought to get right with the Lord. Maybe we ought to do like the Bible says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to me.
One by one they came, far as the eye could see. each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you have done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaim. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand. You stood before the Lord. He said, child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am the life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you came. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am the life that was changed. I am so glad you came.